It is Tuesday, March 24th in the wild and crazy year of 2020. Welcome to Your New Mexico Government. I'm your host, Kaliole Colonna. We've got a packed show for you today, but first, how's it going? We're hoping you'll share your experience with us. That's right. We've got a hotline and we'll play your messages on our show. Call 505-218-7084 or you can email us at yournmgov@gmail.com. Today's theme, closed for COVID. Across the nation, governors are taking steps to help flatten the curve of the coronavirus by closing or limiting the hours of non-essential businesses. This decision has shut down operations for many bars, restaurants, breweries, and coffee shops. Anyone who's been in New Mexico for half a second can see the major impact the service industry has on our state's economy. I talk with some of the people hardest hit by the pandemic, service industry workers. I also talk with the restaurant brewery owner and the Department of Workforce Solutions, that's the unemployment folks, cabinet secretary. Like I said, a packed show. That's on deck for today. But first, YNMG executive producer Marisa DeMarco is here with a quick rundown of the news and what we know today, Tuesday, March 24th, as of 5 p.m.
Okay, so yesterday this news update wasn't so brief because we had the governor's announcements coming down, but today I'm going to keep it quick. As I'm saying this at around 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday, Congress is getting close to passing a $2 trillion stimulus bill, though there was still some haggling to be done, according to the Washington Post. And the bill so far includes a one-time cash payout to most people in the U.S. Will Congress unlock what's called disaster unemployment insurance, which would mean contractors and some small business owners can access the funding? That's still up in the air as of right now. In New Mexico, the state's Supreme Court issued a temporary moratorium on evictions when people can't pay their rent, though people will have to show in court that they can't afford to pay. In Albuquerque, public transit is moving entirely to the Saturday schedule, which has less frequent buses. That starts this Saturday, when all of the art buses will stop making the rounds for a while, too. The city's golf courses and playgrounds are closed, though the parks themselves are still open. The number of COVID cases in the state hit 100 today, and KOAT is reporting that here, it's mostly people under 50 years old who've caught the virus, including an infant and three people under 18. For Your New Mexico Government, I'm Marisa DeMarco.
The impact of the coronavirus is being felt by the entire world. Wow, the entire world. I mean, outside of breathing, when is the last time everyone experienced the same thing at the same time? Now, that's a philosophical question for another episode. But today, we're talking about the service industry and how people in that industry are adapting to this new way of life. Having experience in this field, most recently as a bartender, I know all about the importance of consistency. People depend on more than cash tips. So I wanted to reach out to some folks I know who are attempting to make sense of all this.
My name is Emma Feather. I had most recently two jobs. I worked at the Pyramid Marriott as a bartender and Le Troquet French Bistro as a server. And I've been in the service industry for over half my life, like 18 years now.
My name is Orion Gimone. Most recently worked at Farina Pizzeria and Wine Bar, the downtown location. You know, I actually started out working under the table at the age of 14 in the service industry. I'd say collectively, I've been in the service industry for almost 25 years.
My name is Michael Sabri. I work at Inn of Anasazi, Santa Fe, New Mexico. I've been working in the industry for about 25 years, on and off.
Okay, so how are you doing? How are you adjusting to this? How are you adapting? What are you doing with your time?
Well, just trying to, you know, catch up with some friends and family, seeing how they're holding up. And evaluating, you know, kind of what our priorities are. It's kind of like I should have been doing that the whole time and not always putting work in front of that. But that should be an ongoing thing. So it's kind of saying that I'm still surviving for now without the work and able to talk with some long lost friends and family.
Luckily, I'm in a band. And we were doing some finishing touches on the record that we recorded. Since we can't anymore, I'm just kind of like hanging out at home and mixing music. You know, I got the headphones on so I don't bother my living mates as much. When I have the house to myself, I turn it up and So that's actually pretty good. Like, I have no idea of minutes or hours or even days when I'm doing the music portion. So, like, I don't even know what day it is now.
Well, you know, I'm just trying to take it one day at a time. I'm sad because I'm naturally social. My job requires me to be social. So sitting at home, you know, being unsocial is really kind of killing me. You know, I just got to, you know, do things around the house, and my dogs are loving that I'm home, and I'm doing as good as I can do, I guess.
So tell me, what is it about working in the service industry that you love? What really excites you about this work?
One of the things I really like about it is, you know, you really can make somebody's day. You steer them in the right direction, have them try a food or even a wine that they've never had before, and they're so grateful. And I can make somebody's day like 5-10 times a night, you know, working with people. And it is a good feeling, you know what I mean? You're like, we do little things where I work where we give the kids pizza dough to play with, and sometimes it's such a relief for a parent to get their kids off the iPad and to do something different. And just to make somebody's day is actually pretty rewarding.
Meeting new people and then also seeing my regulars, seeing how their days are going, what's going on in their lives. And also the people I work with are awesome. And also the food. I mean, I'm a food lover. So that really is a great benefit of working in the food service industry is just being around a bunch of awesome food all the time.
With hospitality, this reminds me of my family. I just tell, you know, my coworkers that you should treat every experience like dinner at grandma's, you know, just to take it back very organic. Your job, I think our job in hospitality industry is just to kind of be that canvas. And then it's our responsibility, too, to turn them on to culinary delights as well, you know, to turn them on to something that they may not have had or they may have thought they didn't like, or a different food from a different culture, or even just to have a good time. They'll remember you when they've had a good time.
Now, when you heard that your employer was going to be shutting down or cutting back the hours, tell me, what was your reaction?
I wasn't as shell-shocked as some of my coworkers. You know, it didn't bum me out. You know, obviously, I much prefer working, but having seen how the system works and been through it before, albeit at a younger age, like, I didn't have the fear factor going on when the bomb dropped or whatever.
It was sudden. I don't know that as a country, I don't know, you know, the United States, I don't know that we acted as quickly as we could have, or I don't know if we acted as quickly as the powers that be knew, you know. So I don't mind having a shutdown. I mean, because it's, you know, I guess necessary for our health, for our welfare.
At first I was kind of sad and then kind of freaked out a little bit, like, what am I going to do? But then I was like, you know what? I should probably embrace this social distancing. Being at work would put me at risk, my son at risk, and, you know, his elderly family. So I said, well, I've always wanted to take some time off, at least. Now I have a chance to do it.
Are you worried? Do you think that your place of business will reopen, or are they gone forever?
No, it's established. I think that the owners have deep pockets. You know, it's a hotel, and I work in, you know, in the bar in the hotel. So I'm not worried, but I try to be very grassroots as a person in hospitality and looking and respecting the business that the kind of mom and pop kind of shops do, which I really kind of prefer. But, you know, you get older and benefits come into play and all those kinds of things. I feel that those people are going to have a hard time and may not open. But the corporations are probably going to be fine.
The Marriott, I'm not too concerned. It is an international corporation. I feel like they'll be able to weather the storm. Le Troquet, I'm slightly worried. I have been in contact with my chef, and he said that they're still doing a good amount of the to-go business. And so hopefully that, you know, keeps them afloat for a while. It really just depends on how long this lasts, I think.
Tell me, how do you think that this pandemic changes the service industry? What behaviors are we going to have as a society that are going to have to completely change? How do you see things going?
I guess I'm leaning more towards a new paradigm, but I wouldn't be shocked whatsoever if we just went on back to our business.
I think that people are going to, myself included, look at what did my bosses have in place for me? What did I have in place for myself? Like I mentioned, like I like mom and pop's shops, but you know, I'm 51 in the business now, and I have to look at things like health insurance and things like unemployment insurance and all these things, you know, that will affect you probably when you're older. So, and I'll take back, like, I'll take into account, have I sacrificed too much for a job that pays okay? You know, what have I done to secure the things that I appreciate as well as this industry, like music? Have I given some time to that? And I think we're all going to evaluate how we spend our time and how we may spend our time after this.
I think that in the future, people might not be going out as much because the whole economy is kind of crashing. So they're not going to have as much disposable income once restaurants start to reopen again. You know, people, they might come out a little bit because they want to support their favorite restaurants, but they're not going to have as much, you know, money just around so that they are able to dine out as much. And then I think that maybe also people are going to be a little bit more concerned just about, you know, transmission of viruses and such. So maybe be a little bit more wary of going out and being exposed to certain things.
And where are you going for help? Do you have all the resources available to you, or are other people passing on that information? How are you getting help?
Well, the United States Bartenders Guild, the chapter here, has put out a lot of things that I haven't really checked those resources yet. I tell you what, unemployment has been a real because you can't get through. And I went there after, you know, we closed the bar in the hotel, and the physical place was closed, which I think is a problem. But, you know, they encourage people to get on their computers or their cell phones. But, you know, what if you didn't have a computer or cell phone? You know, saying so it's like you have to get in online, and there's something that I need to do. I need to get through to an actual person for passwords and everything like that. And I've been trying for days. So that's an issue.
So I've definitely applied for unemployment insurance and SNAP and whatnot. There, a lot of the server groups I'm on Facebook, they're mentioning the United Bartenders Association. They have grants that a bunch of the big liquor names are donating to. I haven't yet applied for it because at the moment I'm doing okay. Hopefully I can just get a little bit of the unemployment since, you know, I've already paid into that and get something that, you know, I in my time of need that I could use.
I did apply for unemployment. I was actually approved. I got the notice yesterday. I have a fridge full of food, and I live in a house with I myself enjoy cooking, and my two roommates as well enjoy cooking. And you know, I'm going to make the most of it. We got a little book club at Farina. We just finished reading Small Great Things, which is an awesome book. We got a new book on the horizon. I'm reading a little more, you know. I'm going to make the most of it.
That was Emma Feather, Orion Guimond, and Michael Sabree. I want to thank them all for sharing their experience with us. And trust me, trust me, trust me, this story is not over. If you are a service industry member or you know one and you want to share with us, give us a call at our hotline, 505-218-7084, or email us at yournmgov@gmail.com. Keeping with the theme of the impact of the coronavirus on the service industry, it's important to recognize that servers aren't the only people affected. You've got cooks, dishwashers, prep, everybody in the back of the house. It's the owner's job to watch over it all. And many owners are looking into how they can rebound from this huge setback. I wanted to talk to a former boss of mine and arguably one of the best service industry owners to work for. Honestly, he is. He offers his employees health coverage. How many restaurants do that? Not many. Ken Carson, owner of Nexus Brewery, joins your New Mexico government. Ken, thanks for being with me.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
So let me ask you, how are you and your family doing with this?
Well, we're struggling with it a bit, obviously, because it's very stressful. We've never been in a situation where things didn't flow at least close to where you feel like they should. We've had setbacks. We've had slow weeks, periods of time, but never a situation where your sales were just cut off. Probably, I mean, in some cases on a couple of days, as much as 80% below normal. So that's been the new norm, not knowing what to expect the next day you walk in.
That's got to be very stressful. Now, you have three establishments. About how many people do you employ, roughly?
Well, we had three. We're down to one right now. We closed the Silver Tap Room. Now, that had nothing to do with the virus. It was a situation where I think the location wasn't exactly right. There's so many new breweries that have been added to the list of breweries out there. We just had a hard time competing in that location. So we closed that in December. This past Sunday, we closed our new location, which was, we called it Nexus Blue Smokehouse. And that provided barbecue plus our fried chicken. We closed that on Sunday. And now that is a victim of the virus in that it was kind of new. We still haven't got it established. And when you cut sales from an organization that's not quite mature, it really hurts because it's not as profitable as it should be. And so that really hurt us there. And we're still operating at our main location at Pan American Freeway and Montgomery. This store, it continues to, and you know, you used to work here. the volume seems to hang in there. It's down about 50%. But we think that, you know, if we can get the word out that we can keep this open as long as the community comes out and supports us. As far as employees, we're probably down from 65 to about 15.
15. Now, how did your employees take the news that you guys would have to be cutting back?
You know, I hate to speak for them specifically, but everybody has been gracious and understanding. Knowing what all of us are going through, it's not any one of us that caused any of this. It has nothing to do with customer service or the products or competition. I've mentioned it to people. You know, I had one guy feel, I could tell he felt bad for me. He almost felt worse for me. You know, I've never seen anything like it. He came in and let me know, I know this has nothing to do with you. I know it's something that has happened to all of us. And don't you worry about it, Ken. And I was just like, dang. He understood how I felt, and he wanted to make me feel better.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's commendable, and that's easy because, as I said, it wasn't hyperbole. You're like actually one of the best service industry bosses to work for, and I've done it. I've worked for you off and on for about 4 years, and one thing that you did, you offered your employees health coverage. Most service industry establishments don't do that unless they're a big corporation. What led you to make that choice?
Well, it's probably mainly from my banking days in that never heard of a bank that didn't offer benefits to their employees like leave and health insurance. And I sat down and I don't know, it might have been in a conversation with you and some of the other people. And I said, I mean, you mean nobody provides health insurance or benefits to their employees in the restaurant industry? And everybody shook their head and said, no. I said, well, what do you do when you take off? Well, if you take off, you don't get paid. I was just like, well, that's not right. We ought to be able to figure out how to do that. So I couldn't do it the first year. I think it maybe was even the second year before we did it. But when I had the first opportunity to where we could fit it into our budget, we did it. And everybody in this industry is not full-time, so all of my staff does not take the benefit, but at least they know it's offered there and they can have it. So it's usually the people that are working closer to the 40-hour mark, and they're usually senior people that take the health insurance. On the PTO, everybody gets it. Doesn't matter whether you only work 5 hours a week. You'll just not accrue as much leave as somebody that does 40 hours, but at least you still have the opportunity to accrue it.
Before you got into the restaurant industry, you mentioned before in our interview, you were a banker, the president of the Bank of Berlin, to be exact. So I'm going to ask you to put on your banker's visor for a moment and tell me, what do you see as not only a nuisance and a change in the service and hospitality industry, but in general, what we can look forward to in our economy as a country and as New Mexicans? What are you seeing down the road? What changes do you think, structural changes, do you think we may have to engage in?
Are you talking about permanently or just in the short term?
Both.
In the short term, I think every bank, even when we had the S&L situation where we closed S&Ls and we've gone through construction problems and everything, I think that all the bankers across the country are going to have the mindset of, say, a Katrina. They're going to need to recognize that this was not, nobody caused this, and these issues weren't caused by the borrowers or customers of the bank. So they're going to have to forbear, and they're going to have to give everybody a chance to get back on their feet. Afterwards, I know that in my mind, I've got a lot of work to do in order to, I think, diversify the different areas of delivery to the customer. I mean, online ordering has been out there for a while. I did it for the new store, but I didn't do it for the old because we weren't quite ready for it. And I didn't want to, you know, bog down our service in order to bring online into the store. I think I'm going to have to really look at different delivery systems and look at ways to diversify the business and the way we do it. So catering is going to be a higher priority, and online and DoorDash and all those different types of systems on getting food to customers. If I was set up to do that right now, it would be easier to maintain. For the country as a whole, I think people probably are going to need to not live on the edge. All of us are two paychecks away from bankruptcy. And unfortunately, even a restaurant, before my expansion onto Broadway, there were reserves that I could have weathered the storm for at least a few months. But you build a new store, you hope everything works out, then you find out, oh my gosh, if, you know, spilt milk, you know, you wish you wouldn't have expanded, but who would have ever known we'd have viruses? So it seems to me like in this country, if you're wise, and I know our memories are short, you probably better be preparing for situations that are challenges that you haven't expected before, because they seem to be coming more rapidly than they've ever come in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. Every year, two or three times a year, we get hit with a change to our reality. And this is the biggest one yet. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for just expressing your concerns, your worries. Really wish the best of luck to you, Ken. You're an amazing person, an amazing business owner, but you're the best boss. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you, Khalil. I appreciate it.
Now it's time to talk to an official about the state of workers in New Mexico and what's being done to help them. Cabinet Secretary for the Department of Workforce Solutions, Bill McCamley, joins the show. Secretary McCamley, thanks for being with me.
Thank you, Khalil.
So you saw a surge in applications for unemployment when this thing really got going. How much of a jump did you actually see?
So a couple of weeks ago, we had about 800 new applications for unemployment assistance. Last week, from Monday through close of business on Thursday, we had 10,800 applications. And that is understandable as people come to us if they've had their hours cut or they've been unfortunately laid off because of the public safety efforts that we're taking to keep ourselves safe and keep ourselves alive. So we're doing everything we can to make sure we're processing those as fast as we can. And the big thing we are trying to ask folks is, if you are in this situation where you need to apply for unemployment, we are strongly encouraging people to go online to our website. That's jobs.state.nm.us. If you go on that website, it's open 24/7. On the top, you can get an address for a YouTube video, which is a step-by-step instructional piece on how to apply online for unemployment. And there's currently an automated chat bot, so that is able to answer many of the common questions that people have. So, you know, our call center, many people just want to call. It is very, very busy over there. We have seen our volume increase like crazy, and there's been some frustration, which is understandable. We are crash training 50 people this week to help get on the phones next week to help with that load. But if you can go online, if that option is available to you, we're doing everything we can to be able to give instruction and answer questions without having to call in. We really much encourage that strategy.
Okay, that works. That works. Now, I was going to ask you, what are those numbers like today after the governor's order to close all non-essential businesses? Have you seen an uptick in that, or do you have that data yet?
So what we're trying to do, rather than ask our staff to get those numbers every hour, because we have lots of press people asking for those all the time, we're trying to systematically release those data for the week every Friday morning. And so we will be releasing on Friday morning the total unemployment numbers for the state, as well as how many people applied in the week before, at close of business Thursday on Friday morning.
I understand that. And I see that you guys are extremely busy there trying to process and turn around applications. What's the wait like? How long do you estimate people having to wait?
Well, the state has a law that requires a week wait. It's actually called a waiting week in the law, where if you applied, say, last week, this week there would be a waiting period and you would be receiving your benefits next week. We anticipate that you should be able, as of now, to be able to process all the claims in that time period. So it should be on schedule. Though we have received a high volume, we're trying to make our processes a little bit more efficient and triage folks, but we think that we should be able to get folks their benefits as of now without any delays.
Okay, now outside of hiring 50 extra people to take phone calls, you know, we're hearing that this week is going to get worse on the short term, and that might mean even more people are looking at your office to shore up household needs while they're out of work. What additional steps are you taking as, you know, this influx of people heads your way?
So we're not hiring additional people. We are hiring additional people at the end of the month. We have 17 new call takers coming on for the call center. The issue is, for unemployment, you can't just put anybody on the phone. It's not like you're raising money for your local NPR station. It's usually a 5-week training process, which is fairly intensive, so that if you get on the phone, you can actually help people out. The 50 people that we are training this week are actually some of our regional staff who already have a familiarity with the system. And so making sure that we can crash train them, they should be able to have the ability to help people out, but we can't just do that with everybody. Starting on the 30th March, we have an additional 17 people that we're bringing in to help train for regular call center processes. But once again, we are very, very, very much encouraging people to go online if they can and use our system. We've bent over backwards to try to make that system as smooth as we possibly can with instructional videos, the chatbot. It's 24/7. You've seen a lot of states that they've had their IT systems crash because of the increase in claims. And we've done a very, very good job of making sure that our website is up and running and doesn't crash. So the additional thing about going online is you have to certify every week as part of the process. Going online and doing that is very easy, and you can actually put in your bank account. So instead of having a debit card sent to you, you can actually have a direct deposit put into your bank if you apply online.
Now, we're hearing that some of the restrictions that are usually in place are suspended. What are those suspended restrictions right now?
Right. So we have waived the work search feature. So under normal unemployment regulations, you have to search for work in order to get your benefit. Well, this is an extraordinary situation, and we're actually hoping most of the people that have lost their hours or lost their jobs have only done so temporarily, and that when this situation passes away, as many of those folks as possible will go back to the jobs that they had before. And so we have waived that regulation for 4 weeks starting last Monday. And so we'll go through the end of that first week in April. And we do have the ability to extend that should we have to. Additionally, your listeners should know that currently self-employed contractors cannot apply for unemployment, and neither can people who have already had unemployment and had their benefits run out. However, today it's around 2:20 on Tuesday afternoon. The congressional folks are negotiating over a stimulus package. And part of that stimulus package, we think, is going to be allow states to activate what is called disaster unemployment assistance. If that goes through, then we would eventually be able to activate a program to allow self-employed people and those that have had their benefits run out apply for unemployment. That may take a little time to get that activated, but that is another piece of information that we are currently monitoring. And if it goes through, we'll be trying to figure out how to get that in as soon and effectively as possible.
I'm sure that will help assuage a lot of people's worries. Now, you mentioned self-employed people unable to apply for benefits at the moment. But what if you're a small business owner who's got to shutter, suspend, or limit your business because of COVID? Can small business owners apply for unemployment? And what about tipped workers as well?
So tipped workers can if they are employees whose employer has been paying payroll taxes. So servers, for instance, should be able to apply. We're asking for people to get 4 weeks worth of pay stubs. As for small business owners, they're 1099 folks. They're self-employed. And we are hoping that if you're like a small restaurant with three or four people and you happen to shut down, that with this disaster unemployment assistance, you would be allowed to apply for unemployment.
Okay. Is there enough money in the coffers to handle the increased demand that you're seeing?
So right now, the answer is yes. As of last week, we had $465 million in the what is called the Unemployment Trust Fund. And that currently is a fairly healthy amount, especially when compared to some other states. We're going to be monitoring that very, very closely to see how much that goes down. We are also hoping, though, that the federal government can come in and help us boost that fund because they're allowing us to open it up for all these extra services. And we need to make sure that with that allowance, they also put money in there so that we don't draw it down too much. And after a set amount of time, we won't have the ability to help anybody.
That's good to hear. Now, two more questions. I'm going to let you go because I know you're a very, very busy man. You're probably working 20-hour days these days. Personally and in general, in your position for the state, what are you worried about as of today?
We just want to make sure that for right now, we're focusing on getting people help. There's a lot of folks out there that are worried about their situations, understandably, and that the governor has really made sure to tell every single one of us on the cabinet that we have to use every tool at our disposal to be able to help people. And so we are working very, very hard on all of these new features, on new services, trying to get as much money to people out there as possible so they can afford to pay their rent. They can afford to pay their bills. That's really what our focus is now. The other real focus we have is to deliver a message, and that is that we're going to need three things, all of us, to get through this. We're going to need a little patience. None of us have dealt with anything like this before in our lives, and we've all got to be a little patient with one another as we all figure it out together. The second thing is to approach each other with kindness. Here in New Mexico, I like to joke around that there's only 6 degrees of separation between pretty much everyone in the state. And I know that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but probably not that much. So we're saying, look, if we can try to treat everyone all the time like we're at our best at Thanksgiving dinner, that's going to allow us to kind of move forward as a community, as a family, and do things the right way. The last thing we're trying to say is that we got to play team ball here. There is a job for every single one of us to do to get through this situation. And if we all play our part, do our jobs, and act as a team, we're going to get through this together.
That's true. I agree with you. How can people help so we all get through this together?
Well, they can help by social distancing. They can help by not going out in groups of more than 5 people. They can help by making sure that they wash their hands all the time. And if they want to volunteer, food banks are asking for volunteers. If you want to help in a socially responsible manner, please reach out to your local food bank. But mostly, you can stay home. If you are a non-essential person, it's hard because we are social creatures. We like doing things together. And after a while of doing this, it can be difficult. But that is the best way for getting through this. And the people you're going to help the most by staying home are our healthcare workers out there on the front lines. And what I tell people all the time is this: the virus itself is an issue. But I had some construction workers talking to me yesterday, hey, I got to work. And I'm like, okay, I feel you. But if this virus gets out of control, like you're seeing in other places around the world, and all of the emergency room beds are taken up with people on the virus, if you're out there doing construction, you fall and puncture your rib, there's not going to be a medical person around to help you. And so what we're trying to avoid here is not just the effects of the virus itself, which are serious, but also overloading our healthcare system so that everyday folks with all sorts of what we would consider normal medical emergencies can get taken care of as well. So stay home, wash your hands, don't go out. And that's the best thing that you can do if you can.
That's what we're going to do. It takes every person to play their part so we can all get out of this together. He is Bill McCamley, the Secretary of the Department of Workforce Solutions. Thank you very much for being with us, and thank you for the work that you're doing. Stay well.
You're very welcome. Let's all keep our heads up, okay?
All right, that's about all the time we have for today. But before we let you go, let's give a rundown of the resources we heard about today. Cool? Cool. All right, for information on how you can get benefits, go to dws.state.nm.us/covid-19-info. And don't forget about this one, as you'll need it to apply for unemployment. jobs.state.nm.us. That will take you directly to the unemployment application site, as the secretary mentioned in our interview. We have the New Mexico Restaurant Association's page at nmrestaurants.org/coronavirus-resources. And if you're a bartender looking for help, go to the United Bartenders Association at usbg.org. You can find the full list of the resources we talk about on each episode and opportunities to donate or help online at bit.ly/ynmghub. We're asking for you to tell us how things are going for you, because we want to hear about it. Call 505-218-7084, and we'll play your messages on our show, or email us at yournmgov@gmail.com. On tomorrow's episode, homeschooling. Yes, the kids are at home, parents are at home, and the teacher is not around. How has the pandemic affected education and the family? I talk with parents who are now the primary educator for their kids, and from what I'm seeing posted on social media, teachers are going to get much more than an apple when school reopens. If school reopens. Wow. Listen in tomorrow as I talk with parents, a high school counselor, and the director of family and community services. Looks like I have a lot of homework to do. Mm-hmm. Your New Mexico Government is executive produced by Marisa DeMarco. It's produced by yours truly. News update by Marisa DeMarco. Music by Pope. Yes, yes, y'all. Your New Mexico Government is a collaboration between KUNM, New Mexico PBS, and the Santa Fe Reporter. Funding for our coverage is provided in part by the Thornburg Foundation and the New Mexico Local News Fund. Find this show on KUNM.org or subscribe through iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. For everyone here at Your New Mexico Government, I'm Khalil A. Colonna. Thanks for listening.